comes to the IT sector.
Here, only the impossible is impossible. The motto, which Idebonyane Mobtekere Pars has set its targets on, the Iranian brand develops a range of IT and ICT products, from apps and websites to educational content. The idea of launching such a business was developed more than a decade and a half ago in the mind of its CEO, when he was just a high school student.
E-commerce is one of the amazing outcomes of the digital space. The emergence of online shopping has provided an instant link between customers and sellers, where customers can easily window shop and get their hands on their desired items in a tap of a finger.
Minikala is the name of a newbie online shopping app that's developed by the thriving brand. In less than 2 years, the number of Minikala users is rapidly approaching 500K. Idebonyane Mobtekere Pars is an umbrella company that has under its belt a range of startups, producing apps with different purposes, from money management apps to shopping and medical applications. This is what makes this firm stand out from the ever-growing number of rivals in Iran.
Digital marketing is a newbie business in Iran, but still, there are many companies, Iranian companies, who have stepped into the realm of the digital marketing or e-commerce. Despite its adverse effect on the global economy, when it comes to digital marketing, the coronavirus pandemic was a blessing, making the online space the safest possible channel for people to get their hands on different products. And this company says it fares even better during the pandemic.
With a dedicated team bringing together more than 150 highly driven programmers, Mobtekere says it tries to expand the scope of its activity based on the needs of the day. Otherwise, it would stay behind in the fast-paced market.
Many thanks for that awesome report. And that wraps up our show for today. Until next time, take care. We'll see you again on another episode of Bazaar.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You are listening to the program Hadith of the Day on Iran Radio with Sheikh Danish.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, dear brothers and sisters, salam, and congratulations on the blessed birth anniversary of Lady Fatima Zahra, peace be upon her. This is a day of joy for all who love the Prophet's family, a day to remember one of the greatest women in history, actually the best, whose light continues to guide us. On this occasion, I'd like to share a beautiful narration. The Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his holy progeny, once asked Imam Ali alayhi salam about Lady Fatima after they married. And Imam Ali alayhi salam replied, "She is the best helper in obeying God. She is the best helper in obeying God." What a simple but profound description. In just a few words, Imam Ali salam teaches us what an ideal spouse should be, a true partner on the journey of faith and life. Think about it. When two people marry, it's not just about sharing a home, food, or daily routines. Marriage is about walking together toward God, supporting one another in becoming better human beings, and raising children who embody goodness and kindness and faith. Lady Fatima and Imam Ali alayhi salam, this great couple, gave us the most perfect example. Their home was modest, but their hearts were full of faith. Their struggles were many, but their unity made them strong. Together they raised children like Imam Hassan, Imam Hussein, and Lady Zainab, salamullah alayhim. And each of whom became a shining star for humanity. This hadith also carries a lesson for all of us when choosing a spouse or nurturing your current marriage. We should ask, does this relationship help me become a better person? Does it bring me closer to God? Does it help us raise good children who can be a blessing to the world? So in our time, marriage is often portrayed as a source of personal comfort or social success. But the Islamic vision is deeper. A spouse is meant to be a companion in worship, a partner in patience, a teammate in raising a family that can leave behind a legacy of goodness. So as we celebrate the birth of Lady Fatima, let us reflect on her example. Whether we are married, preparing for marriage, or advising our children, let's remember this principle. The best marriage is one where both partners are helpers to one another in the obedience of God. May Allah grant us spouses who bring us closer to Him, homes filled with love and faith, and children who become sources of light for humanity. Once again, congratulations to you all on this joyous occasion. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
You just listened to the program Hadith of the Day on Iran Radio with Sheikh Danish.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
We are with you not about you. IRIB English Radio.
Good night to all of our listeners. You are tuned in to Iran Radio. Glad you could join us. I'm your presenter for the next hour. The word Bismillah appears 114 times in the Quran. It occurs twice in Surah Naml, whereas Surah Toba is the only surah which doesn't begin with Bismillah. Quran believes in life after death. The Quran teaches us that besides having a body, a human being also has a spirit, a soul. And when a person dies, the physical body vanishes while the soul remains. We start this hour's programs with our radio productions feature. After that, we have Round the World with reporters. Reporters from around the world tell us what is happening in their corner of the world. Listen to fascinating reports from countries both near and far. They will be followed by Let's Recite the Holy Quran. The program teaches eloquent recitation of the Holy Quran at level 2. Stay with us for the next hour.
The name of Marvast as a city with rich culture and amazing monuments shines in the history of three provinces of Iran, Yazd, Kerman, and Fars. There were times in history that Marvast belonged to Fars province, and there are many stories of the cultural, social, and political influences of Kerman province on this city and its people. Today, Marvast technically belongs to the culturally rich province of Yazd. But it certainly enjoys many characters that are inherited from all three neighboring provinces. People of Marvast have dedicated a day of the year to their city and invited us to visit this place for the first time and together celebrate the rich history and cultural diversity of their hometown. Everything starts with a tour of the city.
In every city of Iran, there's some significant historical places that can take you back all the way to hundreds or thousands of years ago without me feeling old at all.
A circular fortress built a few hundred or perhaps thousands of years ago to protect the inhabitants of this region. Some historians claim that it was built during the Ilkhanid era, and some locals believe that it belongs to the pre-Islamic time. No matter in what exact period of time this magnificent structure was built, I believe the construction of Marvast Fortress was a great idea. This gigantic fortress and the Marvasti people who served here played an important role in protecting and saving many of the residential houses, public places, cultural monuments, and historical structures that we're supposed to visit during this trip. Some of those structures, like the Marvast Fortress, have become the symbols of this amazing adobe city. An adobe city in the central part of Iran that we, in company with some locals and tourists from other cities of Iran, are about to explore. Apart from iconic buildings and monuments, most Iranian cities still have some very old districts with narrow alleys and old houses, all made with earthly materials. And some of them have been perfectly preserved. They have been preserved so today we can have some ideas about the people who were the inhabitants of these Iranian historic cities, like Marvast, which used to be a village back in the old days.
Before
when you were traveling in Iran, it was a bit difficult to experience the lifestyle of the local people of that area. Nowadays, because of this trend that started recently, and I mean the trend that people turning their historical houses to traditional hotels, even for a short period of time, you get a chance to live exactly like the people who lived here back in the old days. You get a chance to eat like them, to be served like them, to get treated like them, and to enjoy this beautiful life like those people.
Historic houses of Marrast, like other cities in the central part of Iran, have their unique architecture, and they enjoy elements and features that you can only find in structures in the desert regions of Iran. Not all historic houses of Marrast have the same situation as the House of Chaharfast. Some are abandoned, some renovated and now being used as private houses, and some others have been restored and turned into local museums. Inside the house, you're surrounded by some precious objects, antique home appliances, traditional decorative items, and handicrafts that can take you back in time. Maybe to the time that the local governors of the Safavid and Qajar dynasties ruled this part of the country. Maybe to the time that the people of Marrast lived simple lives, away from the hustle and bustle of big cities. After visiting the most iconic structure of Marrast and a couple of historical houses, the young people of the city surprised us by a performance, or let's say a kind of traditional sport, which has roots in our history. It is called Varzish Bostani, or heroic sport, which nowadays being performed to welcome visitors to most historical cities and places.
When we're thinking about Eastern culture, and specifically Iranian culture, image of the curve automatically comes to your mind. Curves are everywhere in Iranian architecture, specifically in desert cities, houses, mosques, temples, with mesmerizing domes.
Another famous structure of Marrast is called Gumbadi, which means dome-shaped. It belongs to the Ilkhanid era. It is a mysterious place, because it is believed to be a mausoleum of a local governor or a popular figure, but there's no evidence of a gravestone inside the structure. Marrast is relatively a big city and our time is limited. So the best way to get a glimpse of all the potentials of this city, and especially in the field of agriculture, is to check out this fair. And of course, the inauguration ceremony starts with a very unique and special dance called Raqs Dastmal, which is a traditional dance of the people of Marrast region.
In every corner of this world, because of industrial farming and agriculture, eating healthy is becoming a big trend, and people are demanding more and more healthy foods and products. We're lucky in Iran because we just need to get out of the big cities and we have access to all healthy and natural foods and products.
The main objectives of the organizers of there is to showcase their potentials in different fields. And of course, to encourage visitors to buy and consume locally grown, healthy and natural products from the fertile land of Marrast. Hallways with different stands and access to hundreds of products, such as sweets, breads, cheeses, chocolates, honey, nuts, and so on. For us, coming from different regions, some tastes are very unique, and some products are very strange. At the end of the day, local people of Marrast and tourists come together at a special ceremony to share some joyful moments. This might be the end of all events dedicated to this city and its people. But the charm, hospitality, and friendliness of the people of Marrast never end. Shahryar Azimi for Iran.
Troubled water, you are the shores, you are the reason I give my all. I'm always learning, looking for answers, every day I pray to you. I got a love by my side, I will always do what's right. I'm a Muslim, head held up high, you make me feel that I can fly. He's by my side, he's in my heart, he's in my step, he's in my dark.
Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
Eruba Shavit, Gaza.
Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Saeed Puraza, London.
Rasha Saglam, Istanbul.
Saeed Aminolemi, Kabul.
Shahana Bhatt, Indian administered Kashmir.
Around the world with reporters.
Across the crowded western areas of Khan Yunis, tents stretch as fragile shelters held up by one essential material, wood. Yet even the simplest material is denied to Gaza's displaced families. Wooden pallets, once lying discarded on the roadside, have become a treasure for anyone desperate to keep a tent standing against wind and rain. That's what Rami Ibrahim understood. With his worn-out saw and a rusty hammer, he set up a small makeshift workshop, salvaging every splinter he could collect. From sunrise to sunset, Rami and his children worked together, cracking boards apart, pounding nails, and joining short pieces into long, sturdy supports, repurposing scraps into the pillars that can hold fragile shelters standing.
Most of us now live in tents, as no caravans or suitable housing units have arrived. While many people break down these pallets for firewood, I try to collect them from those who fetch them after aid or commercial deliveries. My children and I carefully transform these scraps into something usable. I even built my own workshop structure from this wood. As the weather grows harsher, at least when people lose their tents, they can find an affordable alternative.
Here in Gaza, wood has become a rare commodity, not for furniture, but for survival. With materials blocked by Israel, the scraps of wood recycled here are the only option for many displaced families to hold their tents from collapsing.
For the displaced families, the fear is no longer limited to Israel's bombs. Even the weather can tear their tents down. On a nearby road, Abu Ihab has just got a few wooden boards from the workshop. He lays them to rebuild a new tent after his previous shelter collapsed under the brutal conditions. With only a handful of boards, he hopes this rebuilt structure will withstand the winds this time, offering his family even a fragile sense of stability.
This isn't the first time I've used these wooden boards. They cracked during the last storm and caused my tent to collapse. Now, I got them again from a nearby workshop. But we really need stronger wood and tarps. What would truly help are proper housing units. Yet, they still haven't arrived, leaving us trapped in this endless cycle.
For Abu Ihab and countless others, the meaning of refuge has long been lost in the ruins of the homes Israel destroyed. No matter how many times they rebuild or reinforce their tents, the struggle remains the same. Families continue searching for materials or any form of proper shelter, but what they truly need remains out of reach as long as Israel blocks the entry of essential construction supplies. Ahmed al-Najjar, Khan Yunis, Palestine.
Pakistan's capital, Islamabad, marked the International Day of Commemoration and Dignity of the Victims of the Crime of Genocide and of the Prevention of this Crime. A seminar was held bringing together former diplomats, members of parliament, think tank researchers, university faculty members, and students. Speakers reflected on historic and ongoing genocides targeting Muslim communities, saying Gaza today represents the world's gravest moral failure.
9th December, and by the United Nations, it's declared as the Genocide Prevention Day, and especially to pay respect to the victims of different genocides. I must appreciate all the people in South Africa and all the other different countries, those have showed their courage to support this issue and to support the people of Palestine, and especially the students of different Western universities. They supported this issue more.
Participants described the situation in Gaza as catastrophic, urging Muslim countries to stand united to defend the rights of the Palestinian people. They said nations like Iran, which have shown firm diplomatic resolve and a strong stance against Israeli oppression, can send a powerful message to the world.
I think it requires the realization and united action by the entire Muslim community around the world. It is not only some people who raise their voices and it is then forgotten. Well, Iran has taken a stand which is a beacon of light for all of us.
Meanwhile, a Muslim unity conference was also held on the outskirts of Pakistan's capital, Islamabad. Participants from diverse backgrounds rejected U.S. President Donald Trump's plan to end the war in Gaza, calling it a complete fraud.
The so-called peace promise made under Trump's leadership is nothing but a fraud. There is no ceasefire. The massacres continue. The genocide continues. Even the areas Israel was supposed to withdraw from remain under siege, and aid is still not reaching the people.
The participants emphasized that Gaza has become a defining test for the Islamic world, urging Muslim nations to take a united stand against occupation, injustice, and genocide of Israel.
Public anger keeps growing across Pakistan as the Israeli genocide in Gaza continues unabated amid international silence. Many fear that without global action, the catastrophic humanitarian crisis will intensify. Nasser Kazmi, Islamabad.
The
annual International Day of Solidarity with the Palestinian people was observed at the United Nations Economic Commission for Africa compound in Ethiopia's capital Addis Ababa. A ceremony was held on Tuesday, bringing together representatives from the UN, the African Union, and ambassadors from various countries. The event highlighted decades of suffering faced by the Palestinian people, both in Gaza and the West Bank.
The Palestinian people's suffering has intensified under decades of a belligerent Israeli occupation, which has relentlessly targeted our land, the people, and every aspect of life in Palestine, culminating in an atrocious genocide in the Gaza Strip, confirmed by numerous UN and international human rights reports.
Injustice also continues in the occupied West Bank, including East Jerusalem, with Israel military operations, settlers, violence, settlement expansions, evictions, demolitions, and threats of annexations. At the same time, hundreds of humanitarian workers have been killed. The majority were Palestinians, UN staff, marking the largest loss of personnel in the organization's history. More journalists have perished than in any other conflict since the Second World War.
Participants expressed support for the Palestinians' legitimate rights, including the right to have independent states.
The Middle East region will not be able to emerge from this excessive crisis unless the legitimate rights of the Palestinian people to establish his own independent state are recognized.
Despite the UN's annual International Day of Solidarity with the Palestinian people and global calls to address the ongoing crisis, Palestinians continue to face a grave ordeal in the history of humanity. And this event in Addis Ababa urges the international community to move beyond rhetoric and support the legitimate resistance of the Palestinian people in their quest for self-determination.
As we reflect on the hardship endured by millions of Palestinians, we are reminded that solidarity is not merely symbolic. It is a moral imperative. It is a wake-up call to the international community to redouble its commitment.
The event concluded with the 40 exhibition featuring the tragedies occurring in Gaza, honoring ambassadors whose countries have recognized the state of Palestine, and the flag raising ceremony. Aman El Gabramatin, Addis Ababa.
Officials from the three branches of government, along with leading experts, came together for the National Summit on Enhancing Transparency in Tehran. The event also marked International Anti-Corruption Day.
Transparency and administrative integrity lie at the heart of Islamic governance, which brings the officials of the Islamic Republic together.
Good governance depends on greater transparency and the elimination of conflict of interest situations. This gathering aimed to promote these principles and increase public understanding of the country's governing bodies and their performance.
The outcome of the scientific and expert discussions in this program must indeed be actionable recommendations that contribute to a culture of transparency, which is rooted in our Islamic-Iranian heritage.
There is a direct correlation between transparency and conflict of interest, such that greater transparency will allow for easier identification of potential conflict of interest situations. The decisions made by officials across all sectors of governance must be made accessible to the public.
The meeting also focused on discussing policymaking, inspection, technical analysis, and the evaluation of anti-corruption measures, as well as mechanisms to oversee the implementation of the law.
Our country's judicial system, in its capacity as supervisor, will monitor the implementation of transparency initiatives. And at the Ministry of Agriculture, we have taken the lead on this issue by signing the relevant agreement.
Our primary objective is to ensure the seamless delivery of services, supported by administrative integrity and reduced operational costs, while maximizing transparency through the simplification of bureaucratic procedures.
According to Iran's General Inspection Office, the ultimate goal of this meeting is to establish a sustainable system for assessing administrative integrity and issuing administrative integrity report cards so that transparency and accountability become an integral part of the country's managerial culture. Mohin Amini, Tehran.
South Korea will increase its military spending by 7.5%, the most in 7 years. Although a culture of militarism pervades South Korea's society, many believe that money could be better spent.
I think 7.5% is a huge amount. I think it could be used for foreign aid for developing countries or other causes more beneficial than our military or the U.S. military.
Seoul's jump in defense spending comes at the insistence of U.S. President Donald Trump, who's alternated between threatening to withdraw U.S. forces and demanding ever larger sums for their deployment here.
South Koreans' confidence in the U.S. as an economic partner suffered with the expulsion of the country's high-tech workers from factory construction in the U.S. state of Georgia earlier this year. Trump's shift in the U.S. alliance commitment is compounding that unease.
In its national security strategy released this week, Washington neglected to even mention North Korea, South Korea's primary concern, instead highlighting the threat it sees from China. And the U.S. has also been pressuring South Korea to join its Beijing containment strategy, an unpopular policy in Seoul.
The U.S. might try to use South Korea to defend against China, but I think that's a dangerous idea, and I hope we don't get involved.
South Korean civic leader Lee Hong-jong warns of the dangers of getting involved in U.S. conflicts and contributing to the regional arms race.
If we continue to purchase U.S. strategic weapons, often in the name of national defense, and align ourselves with U.S. deterrence against China, it'll be extremely difficult to break free from this dependent defense system. Ultimately, boosting military spending will only exacerbate the threat of war and push the security crisis on the Korean Peninsula to the brink once again.
Instead, many activists here want South Korea to exercise greater independence, reduce military spending, and rekindle genuine dialogue with North Korea. Frank Smith, Seoul.
The human cost of the war in Gaza is etched not only in the lives lost, but in thousands living with irreversible physical trauma. According to the Gaza Health Ministry, 6,000 people have undergone amputation since the start of Israel's genocidal war, an explosion of suffering that has reshaped entire families and communities.
Before the war, there were around 1,500 cases, resulting also from Israeli attacks. Now, after the war, the number increased to be over 7,500. This is an indication of their continuous suffering. The prosthetics are not available, and the lack of rehabilitation make the task of this center more challenging.
The ministry reports that children make up one in every four amputees. Their lives are abruptly transformed before they even learn to dream freely. Women account for 12.5%, many having lost limbs while trying to protect their families or flee bombardments.
Every day, we suffer much because we don't have sufficient supportive equipment or prosthetics. Moving from one place to another is a struggle because roads are battered and damaged in the war, and the transportations are difficult.
I used to borrow the walking stick from my neighbor. At first, I got shrapnel from an Israeli attack that caused my amputation. And 1 year after the amputation, I am still getting rehabilitation with difficulty, as the cases are a lot and the center is overwhelmed.
Behind each number is a story of terror survived. Yet survival, doctors warn, is only the beginning. Gaza's shattered health system offers little for those who must now learn to live differently. Rehabilitation centers lie in ruins, prosthetics labs lack the most basic materials, and patients often leave operating rooms to a reality without therapy, mobility aids, or even adequate pain relief.
For Gaza's amputees, the struggle now is not only for survival, but for dignity, mobility, and the ability of rebuilding hope in a place where so much has been reduced to rubble. Ad Ibrahim for Deir al-Balah City, Palestine.
Mm-hmm.
from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Let's recite the Quran.
وَإِذَا قَرَأْتَ الْقُرْآنَ جَعَلْنَا بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَ الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْآخِرَةِ حِجَابًا مَسْتُورًا.
الْقُرْآنُ نُورٌ وَبَيَانٌ. الْقُرْآنُ هَدْيُ الْإِيمَانِ. الْقُرْآنُ مِسْكُ الْخِتَامِ.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Welcome to this edition of Let's Recite the Quran. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. My name is Muhammad, and with me today in the studio, the usual brothers, Brother Ali, Hassan, Hussein, and Masoom. Welcome to you all, brothers, and welcome to this program, dear listeners. In this episode, we will be reciting Surah Nuh, continuing the recitation of Surah Nuh, and this will be the last episode for that chapter, because we are in the last four verses of that chapter, verses number 25, 26, 27, and 28 of chapter 71 of the Noble Quran, and this chapter only has 28 verses. I'll ask Brother Ali, without any further ado, to please take the honor of reciting verse number 25 of Surah Nuh. Brother Ali, Bismillah.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم مما خطيئاتهم أغرقوا فأدخلوا نارا فلم يجدوا لهم من دون الله أنصارا
أنصارا.
Yes.
First of all, there is a ghunna, because yeah, there is ikhfa here. And then the Sa and Ra are both of them tafkhim in this case. Ansara. All right, let's begin. Let's go from the beginning of the verse. Mimma. The first mim, because you're beginning with it, even if there is shadda, there is no form of ghunna involved. But the second mim, because it's in the middle of the recitation and it's shadda, you have to give it a ghunna. Ghunna basically means a nasal sound and two counts of stretch. Keep in mind, ghunna, yes, is equal to nasal sound plus two counts of stretch. Mimma khati'atihim, kha and ta, both of them are tafkhim, that is. Khati, right? Now, this stretch, this med, Brother Ali, tell me, what kind of a med is this?
This one is wajib.
Wajib, and because it's muttasil, you have to go for how many counts?
Six.
Six beats, okay?
Yes.
Khati'atihim, right? Uriqu, ghain and qa, both of them are tafkhim, that is. Uriqu, fa'udkhilu, udkhilu. What ruling is applied in the dal of this udkhilu?
We have qalqala.
Qalqala. Qalqala basically means that whenever we have qutub jad letters, qaf, ta, ba, jim, and dal, and they're sakin, we give an echoing sound, because these letters have a very similar sound when they are sakin. To differentiate between these letters, we give an echoing sound. Originally, it would have been fa'udkhilu, right? But after the application of qalqala, it becomes fa'udkhilu, udkhilu, right? The kha again is a tafkhim, that udkhilu, right? Nara, not nara. It's a very, because again, tafkhim and tarqiq, when you're practicing and you're trying to focus, it becomes confusing in many cases. Nara, the first med for the na is a tarqiq. You recite it with flat, but the second one, because it's the med is for ra, you recite it with tafkhim. And ra, whenever we have fatha or dhamma on ra, or before ra and the ra itself is sakin, we apply tafkhim for ra. For you see, even English we are applying the tajweed for her. Falam yajid, the falam over here in this case is a normal idhar, right? There is no idgham or anything.
فلم يجدوا لهم من دون الله لهم من the entire meme and noon of min, both of them have ghunna, right? Ghunna has been said again, it's a nasal sound plus a two-beat stretch. لهم من دون الله. Why is that so? The first one is because of إدغام of the meme. Look at the meme before. لهم, the first meme at the end of لهم, م, and then من, the first meme of, the second meme of this إدغام, it will be from the beginning of من, right? At the end of لهم and the beginning of من. So there are two memes next to each other. In the recitation, we do إدغام of them. The mithlain, because these are next to each other, and we do ghunna as well in this case. But the second ghunna is not because of idgham, it's because of ikhfa. We have the noon, and after that we have dal. Dal is one of the mouth letters. Whenever we have a noon sakin or tanween, and after that we have one of the mouth letters, we do ikhfa of noon. Ikhfa means hiding the sound of noon and giving it a nasal sound plus a two-beat stretch, basically ghunna. لَهُمْ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ أَنصَارًا. The أَنصَارًا, again, as we mentioned in the beginning, is the noon over here. We have ghunna because of the same ikhfa, right? And sara, it's not sara, right? Sara. First of all, it's not seen, it's sad. Second of all, it's tafkhim. We have to recite with a rounded mouth and a heavy voice. Oh, the first verse took so long to explain.
مِمَّا خَطِيئَاتِهِمْ أُغْرِقُوا فَأُدْخِلُوا نَارًا فَلَمْ يَجِدُوا لَهُمْ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ أَنصَارًا.
Because of their sins they were drowned and put into the fire, and they found not for themselves besides Allah any helpers.
The second one, inshallah, we will try to summarize as much as possible in the interest of time. Brother Hassan, please take the honor of reciting verse number 26 of Surah Nuh.
وَقَالَ نُوحٌ رَبِّي لَا تَذَرْ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ دَيَّارًا.
أحسنتم. You can try it a bit better, but I will, in the interest of time, I will just correct the recitation for you.
وَقَالَ نُوحٌ رَبِّ لَا تَذَرْ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ دَيَّارًا.
Right? Now keep in mind, again, as we mentioned in the previous episode as well, نُوحٌ رَبِّ, it was originally نُوحٌ رَبِّ, but because of idgham, idgham basically means that whenever we have noon sakin or tanween, and then after that we have yarmanun, that is ya, ra, mim, lam, noon, and waw, right? Although I didn't do it in the correct order. Any of these letters, whenever we have after noon sakin or tanween, we apply idgham. Idgham means merging the noon with these letters, right? And for, exceptionally for ra and lam, we do it without ghunna. There is no nasal sound or stretching for when we have the idgham of noon and ra or lam, right? But for the other ones, yamun, ya, mim, waw, and noon, we do ghunna, nasal sound and stretching. In this case is وَقَالَ نُوحُ الرَّبِّ, as if the نُوحٌ, the noon of the tanween of نُوحٌ, is non-existent, right?
وَقَالَ نُوحُ الرَّبِّ لَا تَذَرْ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ دَيَّارًا.
Again, daya is a tarqiq recitation. Ra is with tafkhim.
دَيَّارًا.
وقال نوح الرب لا تذر على الأرض من الكافرين ديارا.
And Noah said, My Lord, do not leave upon the earth from among the disbelievers an inhabitant.
All right, so without any further ado, I'll ask Brother Masoom to please take the honor of reciting verse number 27 for us.
إنك إن تذرهم يضلوا عبادك ولا يلدوا إلا فاجرا كفارا.
أحسنتم. In the interest of time, I will be very quick in the pointing out of the tajweed point. إنك إن تذرهم. There is a ghunna involved. Why is that, sir, Brother Masoom?
It's because of إخفاء.
Ikhfa, very good. Ikhfa basically says that whenever we have Nun Sakin or Tanween, and after that we have any of the mouth letters, in this case it is Ta, we silence a little bit the sound of Nun, and we apply Ghunna.
إِنَّكَ إِن تَذَرْهُمْ يُضِلُّوا عِبَادَكَ وَلَا يَلِدُوا.
Now, what kind of a mad is this in this case, my brother Masoom?
It's Jaiz one.
Jaiz Munfasil, correct?
Yes.
So, in this case, what happens? How many counts are we allowed?
Takes to four counts.
Exactly. So, we can go four or up to five counts as well, yeah, because it's Jaiz Munfasil. You can go and say Yalidu illa or Yalidu illa, either four or five. It's up to you. Or you can also go up to six. There is no problem in that. Fajiran kaffara. Now keep in mind again, tafkhim and tarqiq. Fa, tarqiq. Ji, tarqiq. Ra again here is tafkhim. Now again, tafkhim and tarqiq, the difference is that tafkhim letters and tafkhim's pronunciation and recitation, you round your mouth and you give it a heavy voice. But for tarqiq, you flatten the mouth as if you're smiling and you give it a normal, flat pronunciation of the letter. فَاجِرًا كَفَّارًا. Right?
إِنَّكَ إِن تَذَرْهُمْ يُضِلُّوا عِبَادَكَ وَلَا يَلِدُوا إِلَّا فَاجِرًا كَفَّارًا.
Indeed, if you leave them, they will mislead your servants and not beget except every wicked one and confirmed disbeliever.
And then the last verse of this chapter, and I believe one of the longer verses of this chapter, will be, inshallah, in the destiny of Brother Hussein. Brother Hussein?
Yes.
Please take the honor.
رَبِّ اغْفِرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيَّ وَلِمَنْ دَخَلَ بَيْتِيَ مُؤْمِنًا وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ وَلَا تَزِدِ الظَّالِمِينَ إِلَّا تَبَارًا.
أحسنتم, a very beautiful recitation. You could have stopped and did waqf at mu'minat, but then since you were capable of continuing, and it is better to continue because the waqf at mu'minat is a salah, salah and ya, at least in my copy of the Quran. This means that whenever you see this, you can continue, but it's better that you can stop, but it's better that you continue reciting. And the meaning is much more clearer if you do so.
رَبِّ اغْفِرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيَّ وَلِمَنْ دَخَلَ بَيْتِيَ مُؤْمِنًا وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ وَلَا تَزِدِ الظَّالِمِينَ إِلَّا تَبَارًا.
My Lord, forgive me and my parents and whoever enters my house a believer and the believing men and believing women, and do not increase the wrongdoers except in destruction.
You did recite it very well, and due to the interest of time, and we did mention all of the tajweed points in the previous verses, we will just jump towards repeating the recitation of the verses we recited in this episode. Are you ready, brothers?
Yes.
أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم مما خطيئاتهم أغرقوا فأدخلوا نارا فلم يجدوا لهم من دون الله أنصارا.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم مما خطيئاتهم أغرقوا فأدخلوا نارا فلم يجدوا لهم من دون الله أنصارا.
وقال نوح رب لا تذر على الأرض من الكافرين ديارا.
وقال نوح رب لا تذر على الأرض من الكافرين ديارا.
إنك إن تذرهم يضلوا عبادك ولا يلدوا إلا فاجرا كفارا. إِنَّكَ إِنْ تَذَرْهُمْ يُضِلُّوا عِبَادَكَ وَلَا يَلِدُوا إِلَّا فَاجِرًا كَفَّارًا رب اغفر لي ولوالدي ولمن دخل بيتي مؤمنا وللمؤمنين والمؤمنات ولا تزد الظالمين إلا تبارا رب اغفر لي ولوالدي ولمن دخل بيتي مؤمنا وللمؤمنين والمؤمنات ولا تزد الظالمين إلا تبارا أحسنتم صدق الله العلي العظيم صدق الله العلي العظيم.
And that was the end of this episode and also the end of this chapter, chapter Nuh, chapter number 71 of the Noble Quran. We bid you farewell. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
Zikrun wa maw'izatun wa nur, fihi shifa'un lis-sudur wa shafi'un.